Ladies and gentlemen, this is Padmini Arhant, author, presenter, performer, PadminiArhant.com. The interaction between Indian political representative Raj and the ruling class member Humphrey Dwight is now substituted with the extemporaneous dialogue between Padmini Arhant and the ruling class member Humphrey Dwight. Thank you. Hello, Humphrey. This is Padmini Arhant. How are you? Hello, Padmini. I'm good, thank you. Nice to meet you. Good to meet you. Humphrey, I'm going to pick up from where Raj left in the previous segment. Before I proceed, let me recap on the discussion between you and Raj. The focus was on British monarchy, beginning with the British monarchy's origin being German and not English, Welsh, Irish, or Scottish. British monarchy, double standards in terms of their remark on population, I quote their expression, explosion, and at the same time the British royalty proudly announcing the arrival of any new member in the royal family with great joy and pride. In the British monarchy, problems with the titles. Your queen is the coronated queen and known as Queen Elizabeth, married to Prince Philip. Somehow the Queen's spouse's title remains the prince and is not elevated as king, as one would think would be the normal course. In reality, those days, as well as in fairy tales, the prince marrying a princess and the king marrying another woman and she becomes the queen, and likewise a queen choosing her groom, he becomes the king. But here there appears to be some inequality in titles, which I guess is noteworthy. And then there was this discussion about the territorial issues, which is rather relevant in contemporary politics and geopolitical dynamics today. The British Antarctic territory somehow has emerged in the Antarctica, and making it even worse is the South Pole being named as Queen Elizabeth Land. And then there is another issue on the Indian Ocean between Seychelles and Maldives. The island nation of Seychelles of Africa, and then the other country, Maldives, situated on the Indian Ocean, and then the territory near these nations are marked as British Indian Ocean Territory. In terms of territorial disputes, Britain has been engaged in the contentious claim on Malvinas off the Argentinian coast. Argentina, the South American nation, even went to war with Britain, or rather Britain waged war on Argentina over Malvinas, that is stated as Falklands by Britain. And as I know, this issue remains fairly contentious and is disputed right now. Britain is also engaged in another territorial skirmishes with Spain, even though Spain is an ally. Interestingly, there is also there are squabbles between Spain and Britain on Gibraltar, and then there is much more when it comes to the territorial annexations and claims that are being made by imperial powers. But then, to remain relevant, I would like to talk about Britain in particular. Britain, a tiny speck on the world map that emerged as the major imperial power going back to 18th, 19th, and 20th century, more prominently in 20th century, with the colonizations of different continents, whether it be Africa, Asia, Middle East, and Latin America. But then Latin America and Africa is shared not just by Britain alone, most imperial powers in Europe. Then there was this issue that was brought to attention in the previous segment, and that was your British monarchy, Queen Elizabeth and her spouse Prince Philip, ties with the Nazis in Germany, perhaps related to their origin being German. They had very close ties with the Nazis before and during World War II, and then the much discussed and talked about issue, the Holocaust, in the 20th century, seem to have the conflict of interest with Britain being responsible as the empire, the imperial power. On many contested issues today, in the 21st century. With the monarchy's ties being very close with the Nazis then, during the wartime and subsequently the creation of the State of Israel in Palestine, generating this huge problem for not only the Middle East but also the world at large, the Palestinian issue. It is quite interesting to note that those who were responsible for the problems posing to be the problem solvers. And how did they try to solve the problem? They did not really solve the problem, did they? Instead, they created humongous issue for the region and the world. Palestinian crisis. So that is something also that deserves attention, if not explanation, from the imperial powers. So these were the topics that were covered in the previous segment, in the interaction between you and Raj. Am I right, Humphrey? Yes, Padmini, you have covered the entire segment comprehensively, and this is precisely what was discussed. And I have to admit that these issues are fairly critical, and yes, I will be happy to address any clarifications you may need from me, even though I'm merely a spokesperson for the ruling class. Understood, Humphrey. Before I proceed with our conversation, I would like to first ask you about your opinion as the ruling class representative. What is your opinion about women and the role in society? Well, this is an interesting question that you have posed to me, and beginning our interaction with this question is also very relevant considering my discourse with you as the woman. So now let me say this. I think women have important role in society, and they are able to perform various tasks in different professions. However, I still think that as the member of the ruling class regards women in only certain roles, and they do not approve of a woman leading any major contingency or organization or for that matter, you know, the nation and the world. For we think that that is something that belongs to the male member in society. So Humphrey, if I may interrupt you, are you saying that women are only capable of performing certain tasks and duties, as you just said, and they do not have the talent or potential to be capable leaders and effective leaders in the world? And if I understand you correctly from what you're also saying, is that a woman does not have a prominent role in, or cannot have a prominent role or designation in the man's world? I think you have comprehended or understood what I was trying to convey to you. Yes, to a large extent, women might be able to project themselves as you know, leaders, and but we still think that the world is best led by men. For as you just mentioned, Padmini, this is indeed the man's world. Humphrey, how would you explain about the women representing you, the ruling class, beginning with your queen? As I just explained about her influence and her involvement on various contentious issues, and so much so that not even being able to, or rather prepared to share power with her own spouse, even in terms of the title, the queen remaining the queen, and she's married to a prince, and the prince remains the prince, not elevated to kingly status. And and how would you explain about all those women leaders who represent you now and as head of the institutions like International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde? You have German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and you've had the first Australian Prime Minister that you nominated and only soon to disappear from public eye. And then there are many others who are prominent, and they appear to be active representatives of the ruling class. So how do you explain their role in their representation? Again, you've raised a good question, Padmini. I would like to say this, that the women representation amongst the ruling class is more or less a functioning role. meaning that they are not responsible in the sense that they are not the decision-making body. They are essentially delegated with tasks, and they follow the scripts to the letter. And that goes for the representatives, women representatives from whether it be politics or any other field, economy, entertainment. We have, you know, all sectors under our control, as you know. And the women representatives that are chosen by us, they are our delegates. They perform what they are expected to do by us, and they simply follow the script, and we are, you know, they cannot exercise any power, meaning again, Humphrey, are you saying that these women who represent you, the ruling class, coming from politics, economic sector, and interestingly, entertainment industry, and I must say, very diverse in the sense, you know, Hollywood, Bollywood, and so they are basically performing to the tune. They are they do not have any discretionary power. Is that what you're saying? Nonetheless, I would think that if they are your representatives, they must be doing it on their volition. Or, you know, is there any force or any pressure applied on them that, you know, they have to become your representative? There is no force or pressure, but Padmini, I would like to remind you that when people become our representatives, we lure them with incentives. The incentives could perhaps be interpreted as pressure, but I think that it is not the pressure, it is more an enticement. So we lure them with money, positions, popularity or publicity. So they are quite attracted, you know, to these incentives, and they are more than willing to be our representatives, basically abiding by the rules and the terms and conditions that we lay to them. And I have to say, they are very much obliging, and they are very much in compliance, and they do as they are told to do, in however their role might be, you know, as a spokesperson or posing to be the leader of any particular group, organization, even a country. Yes, they do follow our guidelines very strictly, and that is why they are, you know, in power, and they are able to remain intact in terms of their publicity, and of course, you know, there is always the money that is involved as well. So they are handsomely rewarded in monetary terms in that respect. Well, that is something that I expected, and I did not think anything to be different from what you just explained, Humphrey. So does this mean that women representing you, the ruling class, are not independent thinkers? They have no ability to make any individual decisions, even as the leader of any country and or a major financial institution, and then there are those who they are willing to be your representative for publicity and, of course, making a fortune in the process. As you just mentioned, they are rewarded monetarily, and that is a huge incentive for you and them. That is quite true, Padmini. Now, Humphrey, does this make all women in the entire world like the women who represent you? For I'm speaking from personal experience, the kind of treatment I receive from you, the ruling class, it's least surprising to me. The reason being, you're not perhaps accustomed to a woman voicing her concerns, expressing her thoughts independently, but then this is subverted by you, the ruling class, through your controlled media, press, entertainment industry, as otherwise. And then you also have this huge issue about, could it be possible for a woman to be in a leadership role? For the woman is only created for procreation and at the most, as you just mentioned, follow the script, abide by the rules, be obedient. Anything otherwise means, that woman cannot possibly be worthy of respect. Well, Padmini, I have to, in response to what you have said right now, I would like to say that yes, I am familiar with the kind of reaction that you have received from us, the ruling class. I know that there has been some extreme and extraordinary and far-fetched allegations and accusations are made, but then I have to say, this is all this is exactly what the ruling class have the impression that we have about women, is that women cannot be a powerful figure, in the sense that a woman's place is not in the international domain, rather, even if there is any role that a woman could play in the international scene, it is only it has to be fairly limited and restricted, and that is how women are perceived and treated among us, the ruling class. Again, Humphrey, this is so contradictory to what I just explained about your ruling class in terms of, your monarchy, with the monarchy being so intrusively present in the imperial dominance. Even when you say review history, British history, the Empire, British Empire, whether it be Queen Victoria or your Queen Elizabeth now. Obviously, these women role, I have to say that has not been in positive positive and by and large, for most part, it has been counterproductive. So I guess that could also be the reason for you, the ruling class, to presume that women are are not capable of being an effective leader. And also, I would like to add that the women who represent you, the ruling class, for some reason or another, I guess the incentives are playing a huge that could be the motivation for them to be so obliging in knowing well that their representation is rather acrimonious and this is not really in the best interest of the nation or the service that they are trying to do in their specific role, whether it be they are the leaders of any particular organization or say a multinational company or any interest, specific interest, or if financial institution. So they are by and large appointed to do more harm and more destruction to whatever they are engaged in under the pretext of them being appointed as the head of the nation, leading a country, or in the economic sector. So is this all an attempt to tarnish women's image? No, for this is what is clear. In up until now, even in the last few years, the rapid appointments of women leaders emerging, women president, a woman president, and women leaders. But when you really examine their role, unfortunately, I have to say that they are being used by the ruling class to cause more chaos and problems. Almost, again, this is also, I guess, an attempt to subvert the reality or the potential of women in society. And you know, Humphrey, let me remind you that during my presentations not long ago, I talked about women's role in society, and I've also written about women's image and capability, talent, and their contributions since creation of this world. And there is also a great deal of ignorance about Eastern culture. The fact that you know, women are marginalized, and you know, they're treated as you know, says second class citizens. And I admit that there is a great there is a need, a requirement for progress to be made in the developing nations when it comes to the status of women. But I have to tell you, Humphrey, I have lived in the West more than the time I have spent in the East now, and my observation and knowledge about the treatment of women in Western society is no better. In fact, I even highlighted on the way how women are portrayed and projected, that only generates this misogynist view about women in Western society. And I don't think, you know, I'm exaggerating in this respect. And again, when it comes to the Eastern culture, if you really go back to history, women in Eastern culture, to be more relevant, I could say that in Hindu culture, I have talked about it, how the Hindu religion has the goddess status for women. The goddess Shakti, she is the energy, the source of energy. The source of energy is the goddess Shakti, and she is also the personification of knowledge as Saraswati, and of course the wealth, fortune, and all the other rich endowments is represented by goddess Lakshmi. So women in Hindu religion has the divine status, and this is not mythology, this is a fact, irrefutable fact, that women in Hindu religion, the goddess Shakti, also known as Durga, is the force to reckon with. In fact, the Trinity, Lord Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Mahesh, also known as Mahesh, when they think that things are really out of control in the universe, they seek Adi Shakti's advice. And in fact, the Adi Shakti, the energy of this universe, descends on the planet whenever hell breaks loose on earth or in any other part of the universe. She is a tremendous force. And then when historically speaking, in India, in Indian history, there were times when India, during the Mughal invasion, the Mughal period, the queens of Rajasthan, also known as Rajputanas, they took to the battlefield and fought valiantly. And one of them, who is my favorite, Rani Lakshmibai, she had her baby in her arms and fought her enemies in the battlefield with her baby in her arms. And then there was this Jhansi Ki Rani, the Queen of Jhansi, another one, Queen of Chittor Padmini. So there were many who did not quiver, hesitate to battle against their enemies. It did not occur to them that, well, they are women, they should be hiding in their chambers, in the palace. They did. Bravely fought their enemies. For them, the real honor is not to succumb to their enemies' threats or their cowardly actions, but to fight the enemies. For they did not invite warfare. They were not provocative in any manner, but when the kingdoms were attacked, and some of them were forced to submit to their enemies' demands, these women chose to protect their honor by fighting against these enemies, they did not consider the surrender as the option. Contrary to the women who represent you, the ruling class, whether it be politics, economy, entertainment, or any other industry. For you just mentioned that incentives is a major factor in luring these women to be your representatives. But sadly, these women are somehow presumed to represent the entire womanhood by you, the ruling class, which I think is a mistake, Humphrey. I appreciate the clarification, Padmini, and I find this very informative that you had brought not only to my knowledge, but to those who are listening, to their for their information as well, that how women, the goddesses of Hindu religion, and the women in history, Indian history that you just cited, were indeed very honorable. Now, I would like to also mention this misconception about women in various role when it comes to the ruling class understanding, or rather misunderstanding about women in society. For some reason, when a woman is raising her family, maintaining her home, and trying to share all the family responsibilities. Let me say, when a woman is a homemaker, homemakers are somehow looked down by the ruling class, including the women in your ruling class. And that, I find it very strange, for I just think that these women cannot possibly be representing womanhood. First of all, I have to say that it is not easy to be a good homemaker. Homemakers are, they need the patience, and they are expected to go, long hours, when they are caring for their children. Some of them even have dependents, whether it be their parents, elderly parents, that they are taking care of them, or there are so many responsibilities that they have to deal with, and it does become very challenging for some of them, and they and many, many homemakers, not just in developing nations, here in the United States, and even I would say in Europe and elsewhere, homemakers are not necessarily the dummies as they are presumed to be. Amongst those who think that when you are a homemaker, you are only good at baking cookies or cleaning your house and doing all those mundane, monotonous household chores, who, that is, of course, regarded, beneath someone to even engage in those tasks, when, the women belonging to the ruling class, or thinking that they all come from privileged backgrounds, always have people hovering around them, and all that they do is just snap their fingers, and people waiting hand and foot do everything for them. And I really pity those women, for I think that it only makes them look more incapacitated. For there is one thing about having people to do everything for you that could perhaps display your economic affluence, your status as someone being very rich, who can afford many to flutter around them, doing from all the menial to major tasks for them. But then the homemakers, majority of them in the world, who have to care for the family, they do a tremendous job when they have to raise the family, when they have to attend to so many different things from morning till night, and some of them, they go on endlessly. And thinking that this impression that when you're a homemaker, you are not capable of becoming a productive member in society is rather shallow opinion, and it only brings to light those who hold such opinion about homemakers. Where will this world be without homemakers? If women or men who tend for their children and raise their children and care for them and make sure that they are brought up with values and groom them to be, or nurture them to be, productive citizens of this world, do you think the world can function, even, you know, despite all the chaos and commotion and the mayhem that the world experiences, not from, you know, those who have been brought with values? This is obviously coming from those who are lacking in values, regardless of their educational and social economic background. There is another concept about homemakers that appears to be, in my view, condescending, for they are considered that they do not regard being part of the workforce as a better choice. And I think women are playing diverse roles in society, and they have been since creation of this universe. As I just mentioned, where will this world be without the female gender? When you look at the family tree itself, I mean, is life even possible without a female participation? So that is already the natural plan, and it's part of the natural process. Male, female, equal participation, and they are responsible for bringing life on earth. This applies to all species in the animal kingdom. That being the case, you know, to marginalize or to make women and those who are caring for their family as as inferior to those who might be in their high-flying career, but yet remaining clueless about their family or the family problems, that does not necessarily make those women superior either. So again, now in this 21st century, I think women are being multi-functional, and they are expected to be that way now. You know, they have to be career oriented and at the same time an excellent homemaker, and they have to, you know, be adept with all these social skills, and, you know, not to mention appearance, you know, everything has to be just, you know, the way there is this image, there is this specific customized requirement that women are expected to fit into that profile, like the jigsaw puzzle. If you don't do that, that means, you know, you're a social misfit, or you cannot possibly be part of this league. You know, so I think that, you know, all of this deserves attention, discourse, and again, I have to emphasize, Humphrey, that being a woman and a mother, I have a tremendous joy in caring for my family, in maintaining my home, and at the same time being in tune, attentive to worldly affairs. For I think that, you know, a woman is much capable of handling issues and being a remarkable source a participant, a leader, and she has the ability to show the world that you know, distorted image about women needs to be discarded, and women have to be accepted for their contributions and their talent and their enormous strength to face challenges and struggles in life. Humphrey, I am going to pause at this moment, and we will resume our conversation very shortly. It will not be a long break, I promise you and the listeners, and we'll be back very shortly, for I would like to talk about womanhood and lot more with you as the member of the ruling class. Padmini, I really appreciate your thoughts, your extraordinary knowledge, and obviously you're speaking from experience as well, that makes it more meaningful, and I do look forward to our further discourse on various issues. Thank you, Padmini. Thank you, Humphrey.